Hey, good morning. Are we on? Good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Got several things we need to take care of this morning, so let's take care and come back together and worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, Heavenly Father, and pray that we're glorifying to you and glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, first of all, taking your hymnal, we need to get back to people coming back, worshiping together here. We're going to do that next Sunday at communion, right? We're going to come back, we're going to have fellowship together and eat together. So we're going to eat and fellowship next Sunday, and so got to cover some things that I want to cover in that. And we're going to get back to our singing. And, well, first of all, does anyone not have a copy of the New Testament and forgiveness? Anyone not have a copy? Okay, we got that. It's really interesting. Martin Luther and the 1500s was one of the first ones to concentrate back on the assembly of believers singing. And shortly thereafter, in the got up to the 1700s, we got into a really good momentum of it. But history says that Martin Luther, one of the first to come together and with the songs, and we started singing and together. And so going to get back into prayer and back to singing and enjoying our singing together. Now, this morning, we're going to be, I'm sorry we're going to end it because I've got to move on forgiveness, but there is just overwhelming amount of information for sermons and studies dealing with the forgiveness of sins. But let's look at two hymns this morning. First of all, let's look at hymn number 198. 198. Now let's look at it before we sing. 198. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And we're going to go through and sing this wonderful hymn to us. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundantly free. And then he goes through the singing of that. And then let's look at hymn 107. 107. 107, there is a fountain filled with blood. Now that's talking about the spiritual blood of Christ on the cross, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that blood, loved, loose all their guilty stains. And we're going to study how it is Jesus Christ that removes our sins. It's not us, not anything we do or say. And this is not a way a lot of people think, and a lot of people, preachers and denominations, do not have a clear understanding of forgiveness of sins and how and why we are forgiven. And then the other half of it, righteousness. So we got a two parts that are so vital to our lives. And the one is the forgiveness of sins, which is done. And then the perfect righteousness of God, which is done by faith. So let's stand and sing together. 198, turn your eyes. Now, yes. Oh, now, may not know that one very well. So let's just play the first hymn one time, verse 1, and then we'll come back and sing it together. Come back to the other one in a few moments. Let's take care. Be seated. Now, are we on? Okay, with me singing. Very good.
No, I turn you off.
Ah! Wow! That's a very nice thing to say. Okay, let's talk about a prayer request and talk to God together. And also set up for in your own life, because this isn't the only time. This just started to give you an idea. And we need to be in prayer each day for a number of things. First of all, we're all together with Brian Wise. He is God has been so gracious in his recovery, and he's doing very well. And they won't let me go into the hospital and to cause trouble, but we'll just be in prayer and keep it in. Now, what is the status?
Brian's at home.
He's at home. Very good.
He has still has the tube, though.
Okay.
They're waiting until Monday to take that out, probably. And so they're kind of keeping it low at home.
Okay.
Trying to be quiet, which is kind of hard with two teenage girls. But we don't know anything about the pathology of the lymph nodes, but he's doing very well, praise God. I just so grateful.
Okay, let's continue being in prayer for his recovery. Tish needs our prayers.
Yes, Leslie texted me and asked for an update on Tish. Please pray that she can get an iron infusion by Wednesday, because her procedure is Wednesday, and she really wanted to get that iron before that. So
okay.
That's the first part, and the second part is Wednesday for a successful surgery, because she's having her port put in Wednesday morning. Yeah.
So let's be in prayer and for Tish, and bless her heart. She's in a lot of battles. Okay. Any other prayer requests that we have? Yes.
This is for our church. We are trying to expand our digital footprint into Rumble and some other Christian platform for social media. So please pray for the guidance.
Beautiful. All right, good. Keep us posted.
Will do.
All right, very good. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
So summer camp is coming up quickly. It's June 28th through July 2nd. And y'all, it's an outreach that's available to everybody. If you know somebody, if you know a young person, send them to libertyyouthministries.com. They can find all the information there. It's a very reasonably priced. It's an awesome week. But we need the kids. I mean, the outreach continues to get older. As the kids continue to mature and move to colleges, we have 39 people, 39 seniors this year that are graduating. So right now we have a ton of staff. They all want to be part and serve. We need a ton of campers for them to serve.
Yes, absolutely.
That is the challenge to the church, is reach out to people this week and get them, give them the information. We can't make them come, but we can share the opportunity with them. So that's one.
Okay.
The second one is this weekend we will be celebrating on Saturday the 39 seniors that are graduating. We will be having a celebration dinner out at camp, and just if there are, do we want anybody? Do we need any help? Okay. We need prayer. Just okay. Pray for these young people.
Okay.
They're moving into the next phase of their life, and. I just want God to keep pulling them closer.
Now, I would like to put out a request. Are we going to put up the pictures?
Yep.
Here, somewhere, and leave the ones we want, and then. But let's start in the 39. I didn't mean that.
They gotta go.
By the time they get married and start having kids, yeah.
That's what we want, the kids.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's right, get more kids. Yeah, very good. Any other prayer requests? Okay, yes.
Pray for Thomas. He's just, health-wise, he's fantastic.
Good.
It's just his he's doing research right now, and it's just I can just see the wear and tear on him.
Good.
Exhausting. And since he's living at home, he's going back and forth to the lab like twice a day, checking his experiment and things. It's just busy. It's just he knew it was
all right.
It's hard. He's a lot of hours. He's almost done with the school part, then he goes straight into just all research. But he's got years ahead of him. But anyway, it's just hard because he's at home and I see him every day.
Yeah. How much longer does he have in the program?
Well, this is his first ending of his first year, so he's probably got a good 3 or 4 more years.
Okay.
Before he completes his PhD.
Right. Yeah. Wow, very good.
Right, I know.
Thomas's profession is like yours in science. It's a lifetime of study. There is, this mother is saying something that she's going to have to do for the rest of her life.
I know, but he's living under my roof, so I see the wear and tear.
Well, I was referring to his graduation.
Oh, yeah, it could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years.
Okay, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
All right, very good. All right. Mine were 4, and bad enough. All right. Now, I have a request, a prayer. If you would be in prayer, Wednesday, April the 28th, our grandson has gotten himself in some trouble, and he's got a court case, and the problem is the lady that is involved is just dead set on hurting somebody, so she's bringing again my grandson and then his friend, and the courts that be right now we have talked to different court cases of people, and so far, and this is where those things can change, one of the people in the judge, there's no way that anything can happen. And so pray so, but you never know. So please be in prayer for Ace and for the Wednesday at court, and it'll be the 28th. Okay, any other prayer requests? All right. Now, let's talk about money. 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 Talk about offering. Talk about being a part of the plan of God. God has given us the opportunity to serve, and that old thing that they've we've got the money, it's in your pocket. So we need to understand the various things that we have planning and doing in the young people, the tapes and the publications. And so we need to be in prayer. And so let's take a prayer, and we're going to do an offering. We haven't done an offering in a long time. Jeff and I just started to talk. We need to get back and start functioning like a church. And so we're going to do that this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity we have to be part of your plan, to be part of these young people that will be there Saturday and then this summer. We'll be a part, Heavenly Father, of the spreading of the gospel by our outreach in the internet. Father, please continue to use this assembly in the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
And Herman, for those who've gotten used to donating online, it's okay if you give twice.
Amen. Well, that's a good attitude. I like that. Okay, let's open your hymnal to 107. 107. Another beautiful setting film, song in regard to what we're studying, dealing with the forgiving of our sins. So let's stand and sing together. There is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. A dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more. The ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, shall be till I die. I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Started going to a church when I was just nothing, and then got into the Baptist church and the songs and all every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that idea was this: let's all sing together. I'm sorry, you just have to put up with that. That's been in my heart and my soul since I was a young child, and it just got everybody get in there and sing. So, anyway, all right, does everyone have a copy? New Testament forgiveness. What we're going to be looking at is the concept of forgiveness and the New Testament. Now, let me just tell you, we'll see it in a moment, there's no difference as far as the heart of forgiveness, but there are other things that we're going to look at. So let's begin with the word of prayer that God will open our heart, our minds, our souls to what's going on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so important that we understand the forgiveness of our sins. That we, Heavenly Father, are given perfect righteousness. These things are taken care of, and we are forever with Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to passages of the Word of God that deal with forgiveness. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay. The biblical teaching of the act of God where He graciously takes away sins between God and man so that man can be in fellowship with God is a deep study of forgiveness throughout the whole Bible and important. We now come to forgiveness and the New Testament. There is not a new definition of forgiveness in the New Testament. Let's just get that heavy part made. But there has been a great deal of depth added because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The first item comes from the teaching of John the Baptist, and then the teaching of Jesus. It really requires a good study of the coming of John the Baptist, what he did, what he taught, and then how quickly it went into Jesus Christ himself. Now, let's start with the apocalypse. This means the revelation and or the revealing or unfolding, not necessarily something new, but the fulfillment of the kingdom of David. I'll be talking about that in a moment. Kingdom of David, that is, with the fulfillment of the kingdom of David in the coming of the Messiah, and then the coming of his kingdom. Now, we will begin with the unfolding of forgiveness, of forgiving of mankind. The coming of John the Baptist would be the bringing of a new fulfillment of the old days of the Jewish history. The coming of John the Baptist was not a new forgiveness, but he was now looking for the one who will bring repentance and remission of sins. He's the one that's going to do it. Who would bring the fulfillment of forgiveness and repentance in the baptism of with the Holy Spirit with Jesus the Christ? Now, just this morning we're going to look at some passages, not spending time and studying them, I'm sorry, but the flow of this. So we're going to start with Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Something that they had pretty much set behind. But now John the Baptist is going to bring it back. Baptism was a water ritual began by John among Jews for purification. He was in the wilderness, meaning that he was not among the Jewish leaders who were so far from the truth in the Old Testament. He taught primarily of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what he primarily taught. Suspension of sins or removal from sins. It sets people thinking about forgiveness of sins, which sets them up for faith in the Messiah, for the giving of the perfect righteousness of God, which results in salvation. Now let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 8. John the Baptist, I baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This baptism of the Holy Spirit was introduction of the church age, forgiveness of sins, and the faith in the Messiah were essential in the age of Israel and in the new age of the church. The presentation of John the Baptist aroused a great interest and wonderment in the proclaiming of forgiveness of sins by redemption through baptism. This is what he did. This was not done. This was pretty much left alone. But like I'm saying right now, it is John the Baptist who began to arouse this coming back to the forgiving of sins and the proclaiming through baptism. This caused great interest at the beginning of his teaching, wondering if he were the Messiah, or was he Elijah, or a prophet, and by what authority did he speak of baptism and forgiveness of sins? Then came Jesus, who after his baptism and promise of forgiveness and the promise of the Messiah brought many to him as the promised Messiah, but also gathered together multitudes who rejected him and rejected his message. The beginning of the teaching of Jesus started right after the capture of John the Baptist. The teaching of Jesus also followed the teaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist hit the scene before Jesus came into this area, then set it into place, went into jail, and then Jesus Christ started. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. If we were doing it right, we'd just study the whole book of Mark, but we're just zeroing in on where we are. Mark 1:14. Now, after John was taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." That going back to Kingdom of David. Repent, believe in the gospel. Now, be sure you understand the teaching by Jesus. He called on them first to repent, which means to change your view of accepting of Jesus, and then believe in the gospel. It is amazing the confusion about the word repent. The Greek word is metanoeo. It's a compound word, meta, which means to change, plus noeo, which means mind or thought. To change your thinking, and then to believe in Jesus Christ. Repenting does not mean to believe in Jesus. First, you have to change your thinking, and then to believe in Jesus. Some change their thinking, but instead of believing to Jesus, they, after changing their thinking, they simply start changing their mind and start thinking they need to work for God. Next, we start teaching on forgiveness in the New Age by and through the new name of Jesus Christ. The New Age, by the work of the Messiah, now known as Jesus, is the man who was crucified and who sacrificed death on the cross to bring about the recovery of sins. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verses 38 and 39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes is free, justified, from all things, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. That's what they were holding on to. Then look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9. I'm so thankful for Kit putting this together for you. Otherwise, we'd have to spend the time and look at the verses, open them up. Now you just have them right here to look at. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, taking care of our sins. Romans 3:28-25. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in the blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. So all the sins taken from Adam up until Jesus Christ, not taken care of at the cross. They're just held on, and then at the cross, they're all taken care of. I want you so much to get you to grasp all that's going on here with the forgiving of sins in the presence of Jesus Christ. Didn't have that in the Old Testament, but I hope you start grasping it in the church. So much is centered on Jesus Christ. So much comes from Jesus' teaching. First, Jesus, suffering on the cross, removes the danger from sins of all people. Simple faith on Jesus Christ for salvation leads to forgiveness of sins before God. Know carefully that by the work of Jesus on the cross, everyone was suspended from punishment due to sin, and forgiveness of sins to everyone who now believes in Jesus Christ. In other words, what I'm saying, sins are taken care of, already taken care of by the cross work of Christ on the cross. Now, by or through his spiritual death on the cross, now by an act of faith in Jesus, he justifies us from all sins and by all unrighteousness to God. Jesus Christ suffers for any and every human being by the propitiation of God the Father by the blood, his spiritual death. We can see the righteousness of God by Jesus Christ by faith, that God gives us perfect righteousness to all who believe. Repentance and a simple act of faith in the Messiah remains in the new age as the removal or suspension of sins. But, that's the Old Testament all the way through, but Jesus advanced on forgiveness in the new age. All who repent and believe are now being forgiven and placed by faith in the Messiah, placed and receiving the Holy Spirit. After receiving the forgiveness of sins, now receive in the new age by the Holy Spirit. Quote, this is a quote in a study. This was just a marvelous guy that I read about. But anyway, in fact, I ordered his book and got it in the mail. And in this new age, after his repentance and faith, he not only is forgiving, but now he is able, in the power of the Holy Spirit, living in new power, not only is he forgiven, but now able to forgive others. This is Dr. Taylor. In his book, Forgiveness and Right and Reconciliation, in 1941. Okay, this is a power. I love that statement. Living in the power, not only is he forgiven, but now able to forgive others. We'll talk about that more in a moment too. This is so powerful, and Jesus answered to Peter. Peter's a question about frequency of forgiveness. Peter, from the Old Testament, thinking that he was forgiven, that forgiven sins as many as 7 times. That was just astounding to Peter. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. But note what Jesus does. But Jesus now teaching in the new age answered, Matthew 18:22, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's you and me, forgiving that often. Luke 17:3-4, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Think about that. Think about this. If we had the time, spend time, let's take it from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 5 in the afternoon after work. And these people come every hour, see, every hour, and they sin. And every hour, you forgive them. It's just amazing what God is, Jesus Christ is setting up for us to do. This is the new age, new teaching by Jesus. This is how we are to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The greatness of the new age is yet to be extended, got that? To be extended in the new covenant in the millennial age. Know what we're saying here? This is why we should remember that Jewish believers in the beginning of the millennium are, in the millennial age, are empowered by the Holy Spirit and will not sin. The beginning of the millennial age, they will not sin. Now, those that will be born in there will be able to sin. But Jews that are bought or are born into the millennial age will not sin. This is some of the wonders that Jesus did. The most frequently used word in Greek in the New Testament for forgiveness is the word aphiemi, which means to send away, to let go, to disregard, to leave behind, remit, forgive. All of these are given in various types of lexicons, studying the words, for to give you the meaning of these words. One, used, aphiemi, used where God is the one forgiving, and where man is all is one forgiving with one another and self. Please don't ever forget the forgiving of yourself. We're to forgive one another, forgive husband, wife, children, parents, friends, church, everywhere. But never forget to forgive yourself. We won't spend a lot of time on it. Forgiving those who died. Don't hold on something that somebody did and they're dead and gone, but you don't ever let it go. Forgive and move on. Forgive yourself and move on. Two, used in the context of forgiving unbeliever and believer. Three, used in context of forgiveness at the cross. Four, used in context of reconciliation. Then there is the Greek word charismai, to give generously. Comes from charis, means grace. To give generously. Grant, forgive, pardon. This verb is used to stress the graciousness of forgiveness. One, used where God is one forgiving and where man is one forgiving, even himself. Two, used in context of forgiving unbeliever and believer. Three, used in context of forgiveness at the cross. Four, used in context of reconciliation. What I'm doing here is just showing you how strong these words are. Different words, but they're going to say the same thing in a forgiveness before Him. The noun paresis, giving the idea of passing over, disregarding, letting go, unpunished. Therefore, in spite of the attempt by better lexicons, I've got about five or six in my office, it is still rather difficult to dogmatically draw a distinction between the works dealing with forgiveness. There is one attempt to make aphiemi more judicial in its use of forgiveness, and charismai, more relationship between us and Christ. While there is some mild reason for this distinction, it must be remembered that aphiemi is also used of man doing the forgiving, and man certainly does not have judicial authority and power. So we're going to stay with a basic understanding of the word. Charismai, from root of charis, grace, joy. 1. Give freely or graciously as a favor. People, that right there is just enough for enough preaching, teaching, and singing. That the forgiveness of sins is from His grace. That's what we're studying in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 27. That's what we're seeing here. Given freely or graciously as a favor. Give or remit. Forgive or pardon. Well, we will deal with the definition of these words that mean forgiveness for both, or both, for both are used in both contexts. For an example, charismai is used 24 times in 19 verses. Only 9 are in the context of forgiveness. Aphiemi, let go, led away, go in as in divorce, leave, freedom. Not the ideal of freedom is you're in jail and caught with the sins, now you're free. That's the free here. Give up, abandon, and to cancel, remit, pardon, to let go from one's self, dismiss, remission. All of that in trying to understand this word. This word is used, aphiemi, 156 times in 132 verses, but only some 38 are more in the context of forgiveness. If we study these words, we have a few ideals in dealing with forgiveness. 1, to send away. That is to send away sins of mankind, or disregard these sins against mankind. This is what God does, Christ does. 2, another is suspended of punishment. This is one hit hard, if you think about it, being punished or being suspended from punishment due to the grace of God. He is the taking out suspension of punishment. See, when we all sin, we owe God. We owe God. He's taken out our punishment. Remember, why is it that God suspends our punishments that we deserve? Because the punishment due us is left to Jesus Christ on the cross. He receives the punishment due to us. 3, another is to send away. That is sending away a punishment due to us. And 4, another heavy word is that God has graciously forgiven us of our sins. So all these heavy things if you're thinking about them, sometimes you think about suspension from our punishment, and then yet it's grace. He's by grace doing this. We don't owe Him anything. Can't pay Him anything. He graciously forgives. So here is the heart of what to remember about the forgiveness of sins by God. Sends away our sins, suspends punishment, and He does that by grace. Definition, we will look at various words used for forgiveness, but for a working definition, look at Charles Stanley's book on forgiveness, which I recommend. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is the result of a wrong done against him. Okay. The procedure of forgiveness. There are three parts. The injury, debt, cancellation. There is the injury, that's the sin. If we're doing it with God or with one another. Sin, hurt, some complaint. So that's the injury. That brings about point two, the result in debt. To we owe Him. We owe God when we sin. We owe one another when we sin. See? Therefore, number three, forgiveness is the cancellation of the debt. God cancels it, we cancel it. That's the dynamics of forgiveness in the words. Injury, debt, cancellation. Categories of forgiveness. One, God's forgiveness, unforgiveness, and believers. Two, believers forgiving other believers and unbelievers and self. There is so much to grasp in forgiveness to us. For example, Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now, we'd have to spend some time here, but just to make it clear you understand, the sin against the Holy Spirit is refusal to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what's being talked here. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven that you and I do against God. But blasphemy, rejecting Jesus Christ against the Spirit, shall not be forgiven. Luke 6, the sins will be forgiven, but not that one. Not that one. Luke 3:3. And here came into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Luke 24:47. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's new. It had always been presented. One of the most wonderful studies is Daniel with Babylon. See? And there were people who were saved, but not under this name. That's what I want you to grasp, under the name of Jesus Christ. First, we will see something new in forgiveness. It is to be re-proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing before the church age. Here, we have to note the newness of the gospel proclaimed to all nations. Go back to the study in Daniel and the proclaiming of the gospel to the nation. They heard it, but not in that name. Another important forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 is work in this. In the study of forgiveness, we are to forgive one another for several reasons. All right. This deals with the relationship. I'm pulling all this together. We'd have to spend another few, 2 or 3 months. But I've got to move on. But these are just things you need to be in thought about. So, we are to forgive one another for several reasons. But here's one that few people are aware of. 2 Corinthians 2:7. So that, on the other hand, you should rather forgive and comfort him. This is a believer done wrong, we forgive him and comfort him, such a person might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow because we wouldn't do it. We're too self-righteous to do it and hurt them. Another point many are not aware of in forgiving another of sins is studied in James chapter 5, verse 20. Let him know that the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Someone at work, someone at home, in church, whatever, multitude of sins. You come to them, forgive them, bring them back to relationship with Christ, and cover the multitude of sins that they have done. The compassion of forgiveness is from the love of God the Father, and we should be motivated by love in forgiveness. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And from our study in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So people, we have enough to understand how we need to forgive one another. One very important issue about forgiveness. Many believers have a problem with forgiving one another because they want their forgiveness to do things that forgiveness cannot do. Now think about this. You were talking about forgiveness with somebody, but we do not want to forgive them because we want forgiveness to do what it just cannot do. So let's look at what we have. One, we cannot cleanse one another of their sins of their sin nature. You can't do it. Your husband, your father, your wife, friends, relative, family, whatever. You cannot cleanse their sins. So, many believers do not want to forgive another person because they know the other believer will do it again. And that troubles them and prevents them from forgiving them. He's going to do it again. She's going to do it again. So I'm not going to forgive them. Two, our forgiveness cannot take away the sin or failures of others. Only God can do that. Don't try to do it yourself. Three, our forgiveness cannot save or deliver from sins. Only God can do this. Four, but we can forgive them. And should. Four, our forgiveness cannot cover the sins of others. Only the spiritual death of Jesus Christ can do this. Five, our forgiveness does not purify another person. Only Jesus Christ can purify. And six, our forgiveness does not propitiate. Only God the Father really is the one who propitiates. Now, I hope you understand, those are just things we cannot do. Don't think that your sins and your forgiveness is going to do any of these things. I'm going to do is forgive them. That's what I can do. I can cleanse my own soul from all that's going on, their wrong, all of that. But as far as their relationship with the Lord, they've got to cut it to themselves. So, be sure you understand that what your forgiveness can and cannot do. Don't react when you realize that your forgiveness cannot cleanse another believer. Your forgiveness allows God to cleanse your own soul. Do you understand that? Your forgiveness allows God to cleanse you and your soul. Your forgiveness can cause your relationship with the other believer to be working before God. And your forgiveness can set up the soul of the other believer to be pure before God. In other words, people, it straightens out your relationship with them. It's no longer in any kind of a burden. You're straightening it out with God. They've got to straighten it out with God. And by the way, straighten it out with yourself. Very important. Don't forget to forgive yourself in these things. Be thankful for forgiveness of your sins. What happens at the cross in reference to forgiveness? In other words, what about verses that deal with forgiveness with repentance? This is just some of the passages that you need to spend time on. Acts 8:22. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours. Pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart will be forgiven you. Acts 5:31. He is the one whom God exalts to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43. Of whom all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Beautiful verse. Acts 26:18. To open your eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our study, Ephesians 1:7, be back at next week. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Powerful verse coming up. Luke 5:20. And seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Psalm 32:1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Isaiah 43:25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. How blessed is that? Where does it say that Jesus bore all the sins of the world? 1 John 2:2. For he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours only, but also those of the whole world. It's not for discussion anymore. Their sins are not the issue. It's believing in Jesus Christ, being imputed with his perfect righteousness, and then changing their life with him. And then Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren. This is Jesus Christ. So all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So these are our studies dealing with forgiveness. There is so much more. We'll have a little bit more in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, but we've got to move back in. We've been so long in Ephesians 1, and all we've done, we haven't even made it through verse 7 yet, but we'll try to get some of that next Sunday. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the forgiveness of sins. What grace. What unbelievable grace to forgive us every sin that we might spend eternity with you. We are overwhelmed with your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Pray, Father, that we will see the importance of it in our own lives and in our lives with others. Pray your Spirit will use the things we've seen tonight, this morning, into the clear understanding of forgiveness in our relationship and our Christian life. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.